here to bring it forward to our place and time, I'm so pleased to introduce our mayor, Greg Nickels.
Thank you, Rob, and good afternoon. And welcome in particular to visitors to Seattle who are here today. The Folklife Festival will greet 250,000 people this weekend to enjoy 7,000 performers and artists. And we're really proud of it, and we're really proud to welcome you to the Seattle Center, which was the home of the 1962 World's Fair here in Seattle. But we're also celebrating the first World's Fair that occurred in Seattle, the 1909 Alaska Yukon Pacific Exhibition. The story behind the exposition was a simple one. In 1889, Seattle had a great fire that almost destroyed the city. As it began to recover from that fire, a national depression took place. Seems like a little bit like what we're going through right now. And then a ton of gold came into Seattle's harbor in 1897. The Klondike Gold Rush was born right here. And that gave Seattle a rebirth. That's when Seattle began to really take the shape that it has even today. And so, as a celebration of the 10-year anniversary of that, a World's Fair was planned. And in great Seattle tradition, it took 12 years to put that 10-year celebration together. So we are very pleased to be able to look back and remember what the city was like. Because our city continues to move forward. We continue to change and evolve as a place, but it's important for us to remember where we came from, and the AYP and this celebration gives us that opportunity. I want to thank the folks who helped us to put the celebration together, which we are formally kicking off today. Those were the late Walt Crowley, a great Seattle historian who founded HistoryLink. Leonard Garfield, who heads up the Museum of History and Industry. Jean Barber Bartel, whose family started a small pharmacy here in Seattle shortly before the Klondike Gold Rush. And Herb Bridge, whose grandfather started a jewelry store here in Seattle about that same time. So the fair has passed from memory, there are no surviving founders of it, into history. And today we celebrate the beginning of that festival, that exposition that put Seattle on the map. And over the next 4 or 5 months, we're going to have a lot of opportunities to learn about it, remember our history, and move forward. Thank you, and welcome to the Seattle Center and Folklife.
Folks, I want to refer you to your festival guide, in which you'll see that there's lots of programming attached to the AYP. We have a wonderful exhibit over in McCall Hall, and we have concerts tonight and tomorrow night. Take a look in there and see what cultural diversity we have in our community, both 100 years ago and up to now. You cannot have a World's Fair without a theme song. We now have the rare opportunity to hear the 1909 hit song, Seattle, the Peerless City. It is now the official song of Seattle. Here to perform the song, I'm pleased to introduce to you the Hyperbolic Singers, who will tell us a little bit about this, and Fred Maslin, who has a little bit to tell us about how the song originated. The Hyperbolic Singers. The song in Seattle, the Peerless City was written by Arthur O. Dillon and Glenn W. Ashley, and adopted by the City Council of Seattle on the condition that one of the City Council members sing it. He did, and they did. If you feel patriotic, you're welcome to stand. And also, I would encourage you to join us in the chorus. So, here we go.
Hail, all hail to the peerless city, metropolis of the West, the gateway to the Orient, whom grandeur hath caressed. Seattle sits on seven hills, her glory is unfurled. At her feet is Puget Sound, where flows the of the world. Hail, all hail to the peerless city, metropolis of the West, the gateway to the Orient, whom grandeur hath caressed. Her bosom's gemmed with pearly lakes, the mountains tower near, the earth tree forest skirts about, the beauty of earth is here. Hail, all hail to the peerless city, metropolis of the West, the gateway to the Orient, whom grandeur hath caressed. Her men and women, active, proud, Seattle built some more, and greater far than ancient Rome, the matchless for all time. Hail, all hail to the peerless city, metropolis of the West, the gateway to the Orient, whom grandeur hath caressed. True love and art shall flourish here, the heart's sweet tender theme. Upholders of the truth here dwell, the dreamers of the dream. Hail, all hail to the peerless city, metropolis of the West, the gateway to the Orient, whom grandeur hath caressed, the center of the universe, whom grandeur hath caressed.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you not agree that that was a peerless rendition of Seattle's song? Thank you, Hyperbolic Singer. I now have the pleasure, another rare treat, to introduce to you a band with its own cult following. Ballard's Sedentary Sousa Band has been around for 23 years. They are a marching band who never marches. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Ballard's own Sedentary Sousa Band.
everybody. Welcome to Folk Life and the AYP celebration for the centennial. And what we're playing right now is hit tunes from the day. This is hit music from 1909. And it's hit music today too, and it's what is that? This is that, that tune's gonna live on forever. Just like Jailhouse Rock. So, that was the Washington Post March by John Philip Sousa. John Philip Sousa's band did not play at the AYP Expo. Maybe because they were busy, or maybe they were too expensive. We don't know why. There was another band that played every day, Theodore Wagner's band. And they were the big band in these parts. They called him Dad Wagner. They played every day, and so did the Seattle Symphony, played every day at the AYP. And our next tune that we will play is actually an official AYP march, written by George Rosencrans, who is from Pennsylvania. This piece is called From Alaska to Panama, written in 1909 for the Alaska-Yukon Pacific Exposition. Ready? It's our new favorite. Next piece we'll do, isn't that a great number?
Yeah.
Wow, I know. And imagine that we actually found that piece. I'm excited too. Now we'll play a piece by John Philip Sousa that was written for another exposition. He didn't write anything for the AYP, but he did write things for other expositions. It was a very popular thing to write these pieces for things. And this one is called The Pathfinder of Panama, This was written for the exposition that happened in San Francisco. I'm forgetting the name of the exposition, the one that was celebrating the opening of the Panama Canal in 1914. Anyway. Panama Pacific. The Panama Pacific Expo. Okay. Pathfinder of Panama by John Philip Sousa. You know, a lot of people think that all this music is military music, but it really, very little of it is military music. All of these things were written for world's fairs and food fairs and colleges and the openings of buildings. And you would not believe how much of this kind of music there was written is there's thousands of tunes. It's incredible what a body of work it is. It was the most popular thing going. It's really amazing. So, top 40. Yeah, it was like top 40. So, next up, it's gonna be your favorite. It's already our favorite. We're going to play the Thunderer March by John Philip Sousa. And we are bringing out the world's only sedentary majorette. If only we could have performed this at the AYP. Anybody out there who has never experienced the sedentary majorette before? Ooh la la! Back. But first, we're going to play some more music for you. So, when they were talking over there about the AYP, they didn't tell you any of the juicy details about the AYP, which there are a number of really cool little juicy details. So, my newest little detail that I just found out from my friend over there, Michael Hershenson, is that this happened at the site of the University of Washington, and you know, Rainier Vista, the Olmsted brothers, who are famous for designing Central Park and a bunch of other parks around the country. They designed the grounds for the AYP, and they designed Rainier Vista so that you could see Mount Rainier. You know, down there is very impressive, and there are all these cool buildings around that whole fountain area. Well, come to find out, you know what? When the Olmsted brothers were here planning, building this thing for the AYP, every time they came here, it was cloudy all the time because it's Seattle, and they never knew that Mount Rainier was there. And they had this whole different plan in mind, and then they came out, and it was a sunny day, and there's Mount Rainier. They go, oh my goodness! And that's when they did that whole Rainier Vista thing. Isn't that a cool, juicy detail? You're welcome, Michael. There's all kinds of exhibits and stuff about this, which leads me around the grounds, around all over the place. And up there on Fisher Terrace is a Model T. And the Model T is up there because they had this really, they did this really cool thing in 1909. The Model T was invented, what kind of came out in 1908, and they did this thing called the Coast to Coast Automobile Race. And they started in New York, and they ended in New York. And no, wait, what am I saying? They started in New York, ended in Seattle for the AYP, because the AYP kind of launched the automobile age. And there were five cars that were entries into this race. One of those cars, four of the cars finished, one of the cars dropped out in Wyoming, and the rules were that if your car broke down or something like that, like something busted, then you were out. But here's what happened. The four cars that ended, that finished, there were two cars that came in first, and they were both Model Ts. One of them, I think, was actually driven by Henry Ford, right? No? No. Okay. The two Model Ts arrived first, and they were ostensibly the first and second place winners, but one of those Model Ts had an engine replacement on the way, I'm sure done under the cover of darkness. And the Model T had something else break down, and they should have been disqualified too. And they did, they cheated. They got here first, and then they took this win, this Model T win, and went totally like berserk with their publicity on it. And that's how come Ford became this huge, huge company that it is, and the actual cars that won the race, you never heard of them ever again. We're going to play a cartoon. We're going to play the Klaxon by Henry Fillmore, and we make some car noises in it. You'll hear them because the trombone section is very obnoxious. And when Henry Fillmore wrote this in Cincinnati, it was for the 1930 car show in Cincinnati. He had this machine built that was out of 12 tuned Klaxon horns, you know, the klaxon horn that goes auga, you know those things? Well, this company just came out with the klaxon horn that would just go wah, like a car horn. And he put a rack of these 12 car horns together, and they tuned the car horns by cementing on pennies and dimes and stuff to change the pitch of them. And the klaxophone was featured in this piece, and I'm sorry to say, the closest we can come to the klaxophone is the trombone section. And the French horn section. It's this big French horn solo feature section that was played on klaxophone. Oh, I'm sorry. We're also duplicating the sound of the klaxophone with the saxophone. They get the cool melody too.